Good morning, my friends. Many of you may know me as Randy Shubin-Dresner of Island Harvest Food Bank. Others know me as the host of this podcast and radio show, Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner. Each week, you can hear my show on Long Island's own WHLI 104.7 FM and wherever you pick up your podcasts. Well, for this podcast, my worlds will be colliding because I'm going to address a topic that brings my work world and this show together with the topic of how we talk about people with differences. It's actually a way of addressing people and is known as people-first terminology. This is a way of addressing people that puts a person first before a diagnosis or the situation that they're in. I'm excited to dive into this topic with you shortly. I'm so grateful for our generous sponsor, Pintel Coffee, locally roasted, ground, and packaged right here on Long Island with a social enterprise pledge of contributing all profits to ending hunger. If you can't find Pintel Coffee at your retailer, ask them why. Our honorary show sponsor is Island Harvest Food Bank, Long Island's leading hunger relief organization. So many of us live in a very fast-paced life, often not allowing ourselves to stop and appreciate the world around us. Please make sure you find the time to do some special things, like taking a New York minute to enjoy bagels with your morning coffee. Personally, I love to watch the sunrise at Jones Beach. How about spending a few hours volunteering with your favorite organization? Well, today, I appreciate the time we get to spend together. I hope to be able to share some important information that will encourage thoughtful action. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return from our break, we'll dive into this topic of people-first terminology.
At Pintel Coffee, coffee is their passion, bringing you the perfect cup of coffee every cup, every time. Their strict quality assurance means richer, fuller flavor in every cup. In fact, Pintail's own master roaster is ranked among the top coffee roasters in the country. And Pintail is a Long Island company right here in Farmingdale. And talk about giving back. 100% of their profits goes to Island Harvest to help end hunger on the island. Get Pintail wherever finer coffees are sold or go to pintailcoffee.com.
Language can be a powerful and consequential tool. The words we use to shape our messages impact the way people receive them and what we're attempting to say. They could create positive messages or cause damage, especially when we're discussing people who are different. We might not even realize that the words we use can be demeaning. In most instances, that harm was unintended. But it won't matter. The intent has no bearing on the person who heard it and was hurt by it. By definition, people-first terminology highlights the individuality, inequality, and dignity of people. It recognizes the common humanity of all and builds on it by acknowledging that we are people first and foremost. By using our words to reflect this, it serves as a foundation for our actions and how they are received. So instead of saying the hungry, we say people who are hungry. I'd like to share a personal story with you. You know, as a child, my mom was disabled. I learned an awful lot from her. A lot of it was after she passed away some 30 years ago. She struggled with multiple sclerosis, and over time, she lost the ability to move her arms and her legs. As my siblings and I were growing up, she spent a lot of time in bed, and yet she was always the center point of our family. She would often call on us, asking for help with her legs, but she would say it in a way that would always make us laugh. She would ask us to move the leg for her, and the way she phrased it became a family joke as we lovingly helped her to reposition her legs. She also had a saying in a frame that hung in our home that I must have read 1,000 times as a youngster. And yet, I only came to really understand its profound meaning as I became an adult. It read, "Be kind, for everyone you know is fighting a hard battle." You know, for years after she passed, we would laugh as we would remember her saying, "Move the leg for me, please." But one day it struck me. Maybe she used the word the leg instead of my leg to disassociate herself from the legs that were stricken with this debilitating disease. To my mother, her legs had become inanimate objects, perhaps separating from her living, breathing, beautiful body. And maybe by saying the hungry or the disabled, we're doing the same thing. Perhaps we're using words to distance ourselves from something we don't understand or something that's unpleasant or something that scares us. Or more simply, something that's just different, like race, lack of food, a disability, sexual preference, and more. Sometimes it may only be a manner of speaking, but it's important to recognize that the way we phrase things can deny the very humanity of the person we're speaking of. For example, I saw a sign recently that read, "Shots are available for the uninsured." And I've often heard people say, "The hungry child in that classroom is getting our weekend food package." Or, "The disabled veteran next door is getting support from the local food bank." Well, of course, at first these don't seem to need correction. But what if we instead said, "Shots are available for people who don't have insurance. The child in that classroom getting our weekend food packages knows hunger firsthand." Or how about, "My neighbor Jackie is a veteran who's getting support from the local food bank." It still has impact, but it changes the focus to the person instead of the person's situation. You know, advocacy groups first began using people-first terminology in the 1980s. They were likely referring to people who were infected with the AIDS virus or with mental illness. The movement continues today. And in fact, the People First Respectful Language Modernization Act of 2006 was enacted by the Council of the District of Columbia to require the use of respectful language when referring to people with disabilities. It was signed into law the following year. By using people-first terminology, we avoid characterizing people in terms of a disability or being food insecure, being Jewish, being gay, or anything other than being human. Now, I'm not against differences. It allows us to be the individuals we really are. And sometimes acknowledging difference is good. However, too often, intentionally or not, we highlight the differences in our words and create distance where there shouldn't be. In this age of diversity, equity, and inclusion, recognizing the impact of our words is critical. It's my hope that as we learn more about using people-first terminology, we can avoid those instances that describe other people's disabilities or conditions, their diagnoses, their race, their sexual orientation, before acknowledging their humanity. So sentences such as, "The hungry need our help," transform easily as, "People who are hungry need our help." And instead of saying, "The hungry veteran gave too much to our country to have to turn to a food pantry for support," we could say, "Veterans gave too much to our country to now have to turn to a food pantry for support." Using people-first terminology can be difficult when word count is important, especially in applications like Twitter or when describing a photo or a press release. Counting letters and words makes this challenging, but with a little creativity, you could turn "The hungry veteran receives food from our program" into "Veterans need our help." Remember, language is a tool. We could use this tool to create connections or to separate us from each other. It could be affirming or it could be disparaging. When it comes to how we describe people who are often marginalized, the words we choose matter. The way we speak of others is powerful. It could influence the way society views them. It could change policy. It creates culture. It could lift. And just as easily, or perhaps more easily, it could harm. At this very seminal moment in our society, let us speak thoughtfully and respectfully. As we recognize the power of language and our words, and how it's tied to our collective work toward building a new culture of diversity, equity, and inclusion. We bear the responsibility of using our words to build bridges of connection and not to burn them down. We could start by remembering this very simple rule. Always refer to the person first, before naming their race, their disability, their sexual orientation, before naming their need for food support or any other descriptor. Use people-first language as a tool of respect and dignity. Because as my mother, my incredibly strong mother taught me, everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Thank you. I'd love to continue this conversation. Please email me at randy@whli.com. Share your thoughts, comments, and suggestions. I'd really like to hear from you. And thanks to my producer, Hunter Highwell, and to you, our listeners. You have given us your time and allowed me into your busy day to have this very important conversation.